things are just, things are twisted in many kinds of ways. It only leads us to understand that though we live in a physical world, there is a spiritual aspect to this physical world. And that spirit realm, this realm of the Holy Spirit and the realm of the Spirit, God is spirit. And if we're going to worship Him, we have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Well, what's that all about? And we know that we're a triune being ourselves. You know, we have a body, soul, and spirit. And there's things for us to learn about and to understand how we connect with God and connect with one another and what's our purpose in this world, right? We all need to understand that we have a purpose. We're not just here to bump through life, right? And the problem is that not only is it difficult to wind our way through life, but we have this spirit realm where that realm of darkness, that the dark side of the spirit realm is against us. And tries to work everything they can to bring us to a place of depression and hopelessness and fear and so many of all the negative aspects of life, that there's a spirit realm that's helping that along. We have that in our own natures, having fallen natures originally and having to deal with those fallen natures. So here we are with that, and then we have the spirit realm on top of it, part of it, that's coming against us. Thank God we have the Lord. Thank God that we have those messenger beings, that the angelic world, that come to us and minister to our minds, as well as the Spirit of God Himself, who comes and ministers to us day upon day. And there's times where we don't even realize that's what He's doing. You know that? How many times the Lord has intervened and we're not even aware that He's intervened and done something, changed an attitude, done something for us to get us onto the right track, right? And here we are in a world that's going more and more and more toward the darkness. And what? How do we get through all of that? You know? And what the songs that were sung this morning, can you say that it helps lift up your spirit? If you believe it, if it's not just words to a song, but when you and I believe those words, or if we're having a tough time, but we want to believe those words, and we grab a hold of those words, knowing that God is true and God is there for us. And though I might even be having trouble connecting with you, God, I take a hold of it. I take a hold of those words, because deep in your spirit, if you're born again, you know that those things are true. Sometimes we are upset with the Lord and things aren't going our way. Well, you know, why does all this have to happen to me? Right? And so we have that nature to get through. But deep down in our spirit agrees with the Spirit of God. And we know deep in our hearts that God is for us. He's not against us. That the things that are happening in life, He will be there for you. And He wants us to participate with Him in what he wants to do in this world. I want to start out, Jared, go ahead with that first scripture. The scripture is Proverbs, 29:18. And if you look at that, those of you who I don't know, that are here new, just want to say, I hope I can just say hi to you and find out and connect faces with names, so that when Kathy and I are praying, we'll have a kind of a picture of who we're praying for, because we pray for these other people still. But it would be good to add your faces in to there. So I'm hoping that Kathy and I might be able to meet people that after the service is over that we don't really haven't seen here before. So so it says, what I wanted to say was, I do read this. But it's really messy. It's a messy kind of thing. And so because I love this, I bring it up
in front, but
I have the scriptures written on a piece of paper. So I don't want you to think that I don't love this or I'm going to read some weird translation, because I'm not. All right? So I think this is important. What I felt the Lord speak for us for today is the first scripture is, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, you know, fighting in the spiritual battle that we're in, living in the world that we live in, how do you get through the kind of life that we have to live in this world? How do you get through that? And I'm sure all of you would say, well, God. Well, let's get more specific. What does God do? What does he give you? What is it that you need to get through a battle, through a struggle? What do you need?
Faith,
okay. Anything else comes to mind? Having fellowship. All right, we need that connection. Anything else?
Surrender.
The what?
I need his word.
The word. And this is one of the things I want to talk about here. When that word vision is being used, well, when you hear the word vision, what do you think? Sight. You know, you're seeing something, right? There's some kind of direction. You're getting a direction for your life, right? Anything else?
Future.
Say it again.
A path forward.
Okay. A plan. Right. A strategy. What are some other words?
Understanding.
Okay. That gives you sight. It's a light under our path. Right. We see which way to go. That's part of this whole thing of a vision. And what's interesting, it isn't just general and vague. Oh, I'm just going to follow Jesus. Well, that's true. How specifically, day by day, is God going to lead us, give us a vision for, so we know what direction you're going? Right? It's not just nebulous. There's the more we understand, the more we get a pathway, a purpose. We all have a purpose in Christ, don't we? Do you really believe that? You have a purpose in Christ, right? And what I liked about the songs today and the testimony today is that it's all about Jesus, isn't it? Jesus is at the heart of it. And for me, and the heart of what's going to come through with the message, I hope, is that we, as the body of Christ, need to interject Jesus into every area of society. If Jesus loves us, and it is a wonderful thing to have the love of Jesus and feel that love. I really appreciated what Kelly said. You know, God meets us where we are. He gives us the strength that we need and this vision that we need. It's all for a higher purpose. It's all for a purpose that goes beyond ourselves. Eventually. We need to get, we need that, that strength that comes from God for our own, for just for our own sakes. But it's not just for our own sakes. There's something more. God's preparing Kelly for something more than just her feeling good about herself and that God, God is doing things for her. She's now going to take that and now do things for the kids. And all of us have that purpose to take what God gives us. We're given things so that we can give. So that we can be there for other people, for our family, for this stranger on the, at the side of the road, for our community, for our nation. We're so interconnected, and God wants these things to, for us to have the vision to see that it goes beyond ourselves. It even goes beyond our families.
Yeah.
This is really true. So, I thought it was kind of interesting, some of the wording. So, that word vision means, actually is talking about prophetic word. It's talking about the written word, because everything that God gave to Moses and then to the other prophets were all written down. So we have this to be a guide, a vision, so to speak, for our lives.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
When we start lacking direction, anybody see in the dark? It's kind of hard to see in the dark. When we're in the dark about something, well, this is where we go, don't we? This is what's so advantageous about being a Christian and believing that this is the Word of God. That this gives us the path to walk on. And even with lots of Christians, don't look at it too often. I'll hear a message on Sunday and that'll be enough. And yet, boy, this is something, this book. Isn't it?
Yes.
It addresses everything that you need. Everything. Amen? And, yeah, go ahead.
It's like you have a GPS in the car. Which
hang
is
on,
like,
Kathy.
Hold on.
Hold on.
Hold on.
Whoa.
I was just thinking, it's like you have a GPS in the car. But you decide you don't want to use it, you just going to kind of wander and find your way, which is fun, but but you oftentimes don't end up where you're supposed to. That scripture in Matthew about let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father.
I'm gonna actually come to that verse.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, it's like Kathy and I are driving down the road and we're in an unfamiliar place and Kathy says, well, why don't you just pull in here and find out where we are and you know, how to get to where we want to go. No, we'll find it, you know. There is something about men, though, isn't there? We don't want to ask somebody else. You know, we're going to do it.
It's good. It's good to have
this right here to be the source of our vision, the source of knowing the direction that we should be going in our life. And it's not only for the righteous side of things, but this really helps us to understand what's going on in the world too, and also how to react to the things that are going on in the world. Is that right? So this is a fantastic book. I would just say, look at it. Right?
It's really good. It's really good. Now, there's another aspect in the vision, in this vision, because
there's times where people are preaching or somebody mentions a scripture and it kind of connects with you, it hits you, and you go, wow, I really needed that. A few people even said that this morning, right? I really needed that. That it's out of the word, but it's for you right at the moment. Does anybody remember what that word, what the Greek word is for
the rhema,
R-H-E-M-A, the rhema word. All right, it's the word for right now.
That book has everything that we need all through time and space, right there. But there are certain things that we need to hear right at the moment. That's the rhema
word. And so that helps us to see something that we need to see right at the moment, right? And then that helps us to plan out and be ready and piece it into our life so that we can continue on to move with God where God wants us to go, right?
Amen. Now,
so that's vision. It says where there's no vision, the people perish. Well, perish you can think of as dying, right? But that also means to wander around. Having no direction. I don't know. I found myself when we first got down into Maine, I found myself walking around our apartment. What am I going to do? What am I going to do with myself? This is the first time I've preached in 4 months. You don't know what that has done to me. So, I mean, if you start seeing a little tick, you'll understand. You're looking for some kind of direction, and a lot of times your body plays out what's going on in your spirit. You know, you're just kind of, you know. But this is what it's like for the Christian world who has no vision. For us as an individual Christian, if there's no real vision that we have,
and we're going to get it from here,
we're going to get it from a rhema word, we're going to get it another way, where God actually, you hear the voice of God while you're praying, or while you're at home washing the dishes, and a thought comes into your mind. We get that God presence that way too, don't we? We get it through the word, we get it through our worship, where his presence comes in, and we sense that. And this is very, very important, this aspect of God speaking to us. He speaks all those different ways. But he also speaks to our minds and our hearts, doesn't he? And when that happens, and he's giving us a direction, right? That becomes something then that God has spoken. Now we have to obey. Right, Kelly?
Yes.
That's how it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Marie was struggling for a while because she heard God talk about doing the Sunday school. But she kind of wandered around for a while. And it took God getting a little more, what's the word?
Insistent
with her. And she finally understood, all right, I've got to do something about that. Right? And so then she obeyed and she came forward, and now all of this is happening. Faith, and that's faith, You know, because faith comes by hearing. Right? I was going to have you go to Hebrews 11:1, which says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, you don't usually see Jesus talking to you, do you? Maybe somebody's had that kind of experience, but maybe probably most of us have not had that kind of experience where you've actually seen the risen Christ. But being a Christian, you sense the spirit of Jesus, don't you? You sense that. And though we don't see him, we love him, the scripture says. Though we don't see him, we know, because of an inner witness of spirit, we know that he says he will be with us always, even till the end of this age. So if you believe that, then you have enough evidence, though it's unseen, to believe it. Isn't that right? That's the essence of faith. And the other thing about faith is that faith comes by hearing, right? I am certainly in the right church.
Yes.
You guys, I wanted to say, all of this church body is very, very blessed. Very blessed. The word of God is being preached here, and you are hearing and coming out of yourselves. Which leads me to this next thing I want to say. Even though I'm going to read this, and it sounds a little bit on the negative side, I'm not saying this that you necessarily need to hear it. Okay? But I think it's important for us to realize, because we, all of us, have this nature that tends to need something that builds up ourself. So just listen to this. Because, you see, we co-labor with Christ. God wants us to be his hands and his feet and his mouth and his eyes. You know, we're the body of Christ in the world, right? This is how he mostly communicates with the world, is through the church, through the individuals that make up the body of Christ. And so there's an important part of who we are, and part of our purpose, our vision, is we're ambassadors of Christ. If you're an ambassador, are you living in your home country?
No.
No. Our citizenship is where? In heaven. And here we are in the earth. We're ambassadors. We're in a place that really isn't going to be our real home until the real king comes back. Is that right? We're in foreign land, and there's an important aspect of being an ambassador where you're living and having to deal with people that are of a different culture, a different viewpoint, right, than what you are. And we have to learn how to be in the world, but not of it. Right? We can't take our... Jesus even said, the Father doesn't want to take us out of the world. He wants us to be in the world. What? To crawl into a corner and hide and just wait for Jesus to come back when things get bad? Oh, no. No, that isn't what God has for us. I would like that. I wouldn't mind just crawling into a corner and waiting. But that isn't what God's pushed me out in front of things. Oh my goodness. I thought, well, you know what? If there's one place that needs the input and the injection of the Spirit of God, it's government. God. And so I thought, well, we moved down there, and I'm gonna see if I can be a delegate and try to maybe clean up the shiz that's in the local things that are going on there, with what's going on in the school systems and what's going on here and there that isn't right. And I thought, well, you know, I'm going to do that. So I went to the first meeting of a particular party, and I don't want to say which one because some people might not like it. But so I go to this thing and nobody that's there wants to be the delegate that goes to the state caucus from the little town I'm in. Nobody. I said, I'll go. Here I am. First time, I'm going. I'm now a delegate that's going up to Augusta, Maine at the end of April to decide on party policy, the platform for the party, and then help to vote for who the actual people are going to be that are going to enforce the policies and the representatives and all of that. I'm going, oh my gosh, God opened a door. You know me, I'm kind of political anyway. And I kind of. And so God's going to use those areas of interest, those things where, you know, I was a history teacher. I loved the Constitution. I loved that kind of stuff, but I hated the dirtiness of politics. And so I never got involved. And now he's forcing me to. I'm not going to be a representative, but I want to be involved so that there's some kind of expression where the input that I can give in terms of Christ and what's right and righteousness can come through in that area of society. And there's others, Amy's a principal at a school. The Christ in her, the aspect of who she is and how she presents herself and the policies that she puts forth for the kids in that school are going to make an impact. We all have that. The place where you work, right? You can be an ambassador for Christ. You can change things around. It looks very overwhelming sometimes, but we can do it by the Holy Spirit. I hope there's nobody there saying, well, I just can't do that because I'm too shy. Or, no, you know, you can do, I think there's a scripture even. How's that go? Somebody want to help me out? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You have it right there. Amen. Whoa. Oh, we can. If God calls us to do things, right? We don't just go out on our own idea because it's written there, so I'm just going to bust out and get, no, it has to be what you hear, because you have to walk in faith, don't you? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. All right, so this leads me back to this. You know, I'm actually doing better remembering things than I was doing 4 months ago.
Philippians 4:13.
Is that verse? That's right. Yeah. Trying to figure it out. Okay, here it goes. Thank you. The more, this is out of Mere Christianity. Anybody read that book?
Yeah.
C.S. Lewis? Mere Christianity. If you have not read this book, you have to. You really have to. This is going to just bolster your mind, your spiritual mind. Anyway, I'm going to read you something from it. Here's what it says. The more we get what we now call ourselves out of the way and let Him take us over, the more, this is paradoxical, the more truly ourselves we become. Did you hear that? The more we get what we now call ourselves out of the way and let Him take us over, the more truly ourselves we become. See, we grew up with all kinds of input, all kinds of experiences, many of them bad, lots of them good, but they've all affected us. And we all have a particular view of ourselves, what we can do and what we can't, what we like and what we don't like, people we want to be around, people we don't want to be around, right? All, and this is our concept of ourself, what we can do, what we can't do. And He's saying, if God speaks something to you, and you get yourself out of the way and step into what God's asking you to do, you're going to find out you're more of who your real self is in Christ than you even knew. And Kelly, I think you even said it like that. You didn't even realize that you could do that. I mean, in fact, you had the opposite feeling, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. I think we all do. About things that, you know, I've said this many times about mechanics and carpentry and stuff. I couldn't. Oh, I can't do that. I'd ask Doug or others to, could you do this for me? Ronnie, could you come over and, I never try it myself. Because I have particular, this is who I am. I'm just not good. Now, I'm probably never going to be really good. But maybe I can if I just put my mind to it and do it enough times, right? Is that true about reaching out and talking to somebody about Christ or reaching out to help somebody when it's not the right time for you? I don't want to do this now. But you stop because you feel the Spirit of God kind of moving on you to go help that person. Right? You understand what I'm saying. So this is what this is talking about. To get ourselves out of the way and allow Christ to move on us. And then we find out, hey, that is who we really are. I've noticed that when I first started preaching, I didn't see myself that way. And I didn't like being up in front of people. Because I was too concerned about how I was going to look to everybody and will I be accepted by everybody. And see, the focus was on me. And I had to learn, I had to get away from that. And every single one of us have to. We have to be able to just say, well, I feel like this is what God wants me to do. So now I want to do it with my whole heart. Help me, God. Because I feel weak, right? Mm-hmm. Help me. You know, I'm having trouble with my fingers playing the guitar strings. And, you know, help me, God, to get through this. Show, you know, there's, God is unbelievable. Just unbelievable. Let me finish this. It is no good trying to be myself without Him. The more I resist Him and try to live on my own, The more I become dominated by my own heredity and upbringing and surroundings and natural desires. Yeah. Isn't that so totally true? This is a wonderful book. This is my favorite book outside of the Bible. Lots of great nuggets in here. Of course, I like C.S. Lewis's Narnia series too. That's pretty. Okay. Until you have given up yourself to him, you will not have a real self. Because, you know, God created us for good works. God created us for his own special purposes. See, God has a vision for us. And we want to find out what that vision is. Because that's where our real self is. That's where we're going to have life and have it more abundant. Aren't we? That's where his love bestowed out on us has a meaning that now transcends for us to pour out to others. I think you all know me. I'm kind of a hermit. I've been kind of a hermit outside of this body. I like staying home. I don't really, I just like you guys. I'm more a hermit type of person. And God is pushing me now that, and this makes me mad that I wasn't like I'm starting to become down there. Up here, you know, I missed out on something with you guys and this community that I'm now starting to realize I should have been like all along. Man,
don't pick
yourself up. I'm not going to. Because I do that a lot, and I'm learning not to do that either. Sameness is to be found most among the most natural men, not among those who surrender to Christ. I love this because, you see, we all have a different differentness in Christ. Right? We all have special little things. I might have some little thing where I make connections with political ideas and what's going on in the world and how that connects with the word and the prophetic aspect of things, and that really means something to me, but it's not such a big deal to many other people. But there's some very special things about what God has given you that makes it important for me to be able to get from you. Isn't that right? And that's how it is amongst all of us. We need one another, don't we? So it said, I really thought this was great. How monotonously alike all the great tyrants and conquerors have been. How gloriously different are the saints.
Amen.
Isn't it amen? Amen. We should never get ourselves divided from one another because we think differently from one another.
Right.
We've got to kind of expect that. Don't we?
Yes.
And I've had a rough time with that concept. But how gloriously different are the saints? Hallelujah. We're free to be who we are in Christ. We're not really that free to be who we are outside of Christ. Because that's not so hot, is it? And we need to be able to help one another along in that regard. But it's gloriously different that we're so different. Isn't that neat? I love that part. Christ will indeed give you a real personality. But you must not go to him for the sake of that. You know, there's always these darn little catches, you know? As long as your own personality is what you're bothering, is what you are bothering about. You are not going to him at all. You see that? Self-focus. The very first step is to try to forget about the self altogether. Your real new self, which is Christ's and also yours, and yours just because it is his, will not come as long as you're looking for it. It will come when you're looking for him. Can you imagine a whole group of people that aren't looking for self-promotion, that can get up, that Reggie or somebody says, well, can somebody just pray for so-and-so? And you're not nervous because, well, I can't do that. And you hold yourself back, and God's there to move you along and simple things like that. Because we're too self-centered on ourselves. What we're going to look like to others. How are we going to minister if we're so concerned about ourselves? Do you see? Very quiet. Very quiet. Well, I do understand, see, because I was very quiet hearing these things from God. And I had a chance to work myself through that. You're just hearing this now. So I understand completely.
So I thought that was a very important thing. And I
really... What time is it? Oh. How am I going to do all of this?
Are we next week?
See, yeah, that's my... That's it right there. That has all the scripture verses on it. So, but you know, I think you got the heart of what the message is. I'm just going to read some scripture. I'm not going to do a lot of comment. You go and find out what this means to you. But Matthew 5. Let me see if I'm going to quote this section. Oh, I've got to do this. Matthew 6. No! No, wait a minute. Can you handle 10 minutes? Another 10 minutes? Okay. All right. So I'm going to read something. Now, this is a story about faith, right? The chapter about faith in Hebrews 11. Right? And it's all the list of the people of faith. And you even heard about one of those people of faith, Gideon, from Bob Harris last week.
Yes.
Right? And he explained, you know, he talked about that and about, what was it? I wrote it down here. To finish well. Here we are. We're moving along on this path of the Lord. And we got started in this walk with God. We want to finish well. I just love that message. I just thought that was so fantastic. You know, we want to finish well. And we're not going to finish well unless we have a vision of where God is taking us. We're not going to have that if we're not listening and obeying what God tells us to do in the minute things of everyday life. We need to be listening, and we need to know what our vision is. Well, let me just kind of give you some things here with that. In Hebrews 11, 32 to 33, and then verse 39, it says, "What more shall I say? For the time should fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions." And then jumping down to 39, "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, did receive the promises." Oh, there were some things out there that didn't get done? Wow. And they were so faithful. Have you been faithful but not gotten everything back that you've laid out there before God? Probably. Right? We have to, yeah, I want you to notice here that, I'm off the stuff. I know, some things don't change. Notice it says, through faith, subdued kingdoms. Subdued kingdoms? Oh, you mean you can be outside of the quote religious context and be a person of faith that's listening to God outside of a religious context? I guess so. Here's a military campaign, and it says that Gideon, through his faith, which means hearing God and obeying. Oh, God told him to do that? Yeah. If you listened last week, yeah, God told him to fight against these people that were oppressing you. Right? If you heard that right. Wow. Are we to stand up to evil? Is that part of, if you hear that, to stand up against evil, is that part of what we should be like as a church? Yeah, we should, shouldn't we? I'm not talking about guns and fighting. I'm talking about standing against evil. Right? We all should be. It isn't just praying, it's a doing thing, right? Faith without works is dead. There's something that we as Christians, as an individual at least, can stand in the gap for situations that are going on in the world. We can. That's what it says. Now, I know, I get excited about it. You might not. But I want you to know there's more than just coming to a church service, isn't there? In Matthew 6, 9 and 10, it says, after this manner should you therefore pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, we're to bring the kingdom of God to the earth. We're to pray for that. And when God asks us to pray for things, he gives us the ability to begin to see being his body. Yeah? To begin to have that start to happen. It has to happen inside of us. We have to be those ambassadors of his kingdom to step out and to bring Christ into the ungodly situation. Yeah?
Yes.
This is a little more uncomfortable, but it is what God is going to call some people to. Some people, right? I'm not going to go through this, but I'll just say this. I'm just going to read the rest of these scriptures. You think about these. This is Matthew 5, 13 to 16. You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its savor, how can it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So just praying about some things doesn't seem, we're hidden. There's more to our Christian witness than only, prayer is the most important thing. Don't get me wrong. But prayer alone, when God is asking us, you've got to hear that yourself. When God is asking us to step out and do something more, then we've got to be obedient to that, shouldn't we? So we don't want to be hid, right? Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. 1 Peter 1:13 says this, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind for action and hope to the end for the grace that's going to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." I could be jumping up on the chairs and how I feel about this verse.
Yes.
You know, because it means there's something more, something exciting, something that brings a clearer vision for who we are and what we're to do. We have a greater... If I could really share my heart, and I'm not going to do it. If I could really share my heart, there is some grand, grand things that are going on in this world that we all could be a part of. So I'm going to say,
amen.
You seek the Lord because there are things that God is doing. Oh my gosh. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And then I'm going to conclude with Hebrews 11:40. I did Hebrews 11:32-33 and then 39. And now I'm going to read verse 40. And it says this, "God, having provided something better for us, a better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." These people of faith who prayed for a lot of things that we probably don't even know, we certainly don't know all the things that these men of faith prayed for, that our founding fathers prayed for, appealed to heaven for, right? And they're not getting it because apart from us, they're not going to be made complete. There is an aspect of prayer from previous generations that have not been fulfilled that we, if we connect with what those prayers are about our nation, about families, about the things that have happened in our own families' past, where there's been curses or other things that have happened that can be broken and they're not broken yet, that we can add that spiritual power to through our prayers, through our intercession, that can break strongholds that have been generational.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
But we don't have the eyes to see it. Oh, no, come on. No, this is really true.
Yes. Yes.
There's generational things that we can see as a nation, as individual families, as people that can be broken, mm-hmm. that are negative things that have been going on. Jesus, it says in 1 John, that he came to destroy the works of the devil. Yes, he came to save us. But there's a militant, spiritually militant aspect of our life in Christ that not only wants to share the gospel with others and the love of God, to bring people into this wonderful family and this beautiful God that has done all this for us. But he also wants us to stand with his son in the destruction, destroy the works of the devil in this life.
Amen.
Yes. Can I get a hallelujah? And this is for everybody. And you know what? If you start feeling kind of funny, if you start praying in those directions, and you go, "Well, this just isn't me." No, that isn't the you that you think you are. But it is the you that God thinks of you. Because
yes.
He's called you into this body of Christ for these very purposes.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm excited because I see really good things. And I see a beautiful thing that's happening in this congregation that just witnesses to me. And I'm now, you know, Kevin and I are on around that as much as we used to be. But I can sense it in the spirit.
Yes.
So Just keep doing what you're doing and just open up your hearts to the Lord, because he has a vision, purpose, and he wants you to be built up in your faith. Jesus comes back and he goes, am I going to find the faith when I return? See? He wants us to be this kind of people. Yes.
Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you?
Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you?
Yes.
But to do kind, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God.
Amen. Amen. I thought of that verse and then I didn't write it down. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Okay, I'm done. I just want to thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to bring your word today. I ask your blessings on everybody.